Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Gemara says, Levi iklo de Bavel b'chadzar b'tishrei. Levi reached Bavel on the 11th of Tishrei. Amar, he said, b'sim tavshila de Bavlai b'yom rabo de Marova. How scrumptious are the delicacies of Bavel on the great day of Eretz Yisrael? Yom rabo, referring to Yom HaKippurim. Because they had been me'aber Elul, they had made Elul 30 days, and because of that, Yom HaKippurim fell out a day later. But in Bavel, they didn't have word of that, so they thought that they had made Elul Chaser, and they were celebrating Yom HaKippurim on the 10th, and by the 11th, they were ready post Yom HaKippurim. Levi, coming from Eretz Yisrael, says, no, that's not the case. This is Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. Amrei lei asid. Testify to that fact. Tell us that that's what happened in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we'll keep today as Yom HaKippurim. Amar lahu lo shamati mipi Beit Din mikudash. I did not hear directly from the Beit Din that they made the day the 31st Rosh Chodesh and Elul was mi'ubar. And we'll see in the latter half of today's daf that you're not allowed to testify with regards to Tishrei or Nisan unless you've heard it directly from the Beit Din that they were mikadesh the Chodesh. Or in essence, in this case, being making it into Rosh Hashanah. So Levi, first of all, gets to Bavel late on the day of the 10th, going into the 11th. As Tosva points out, how did he get from Marova, from Eretz Yisrael, over to Bavel at that point in time? So either he said he came mitoch ha-tchum, he came from within the tchum, whatever the area was in Bavel where the shluchim had not reached. He was coming from an area where the messengers had reached. And that was within his tchum, and that's how he went from an area that was keeping it as Yom Kippur to a place that was not keeping it as Yom Kippur. Or, he says, "B'yom HaKippurim shnei Bavel basamoch l'chashecha." He came late on the 9th of Eretz Yisrael, which was late on the day of the 10th for B'nai Bavel. So it was late on their day when they were keeping Yom HaKippurim. And he comes and tells them, listen, you got the day wrong. You got to do Yom Kippur again tomorrow. They ask him to testify about that, and he's not willing to because he did not hear from Beit Din the exact day when the Rosh Chodesh was Nitkadesh. Tosafot asks a very basic question. Bim tomar hechi nechem lecho. How did he let them eat? Ve'eshkan vadai isur karei d'oraita. We know for sure that the next day is Yom HaKippurim, and they're going to be in violation of Yom Kippur min ha-Torah. And that's a chiyuv karet. It's not even just a chiyuv lav. It's not just a chiyuv d'rabonon. We're talking about a d'oraita and karet. Says Yesh Lomar, Hadatnan Nikaman Beperik Sheni. We have a Mishnah coming up later on which says, Asher Tikru Otam Mikrei Kodesh, Ben Bizmanam, Ben Shlomazmanam. Whenever you set or establish the holidays, whether in the right time or the wrong time, that is when they are holidays. Now it's an interesting utilization of it because generally we would say, if Beit Din makes a mistake or they were Nikvad Moadim not in their right time, fine. So that is, the Psukim grant Beit Din that right, or grant Bnei Yisrael the right to set the holidays. But over here, Beit Din set the holidays, and there's a section or a group of Klal Yisrael that are not keeping the holidays in that manner because they think it's on a different day. And nevertheless, Tosafot's willing to invoke that principle to say, well, even if they do it wrong, that's when their holiday is, that's when their Mikra Kodesh is. Which is very interesting because generally we would say that with regards to Beit Din or Klal Yisrael as a whole. I don't know if we would say it regards to a subset of Klal Yisrael. Yet Tosfot here is willing to invoke that principle for the benefit of the people of Bavel who were keeping Yom HaKippurim on the wrong day. Machriz Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hecha de Matu Shluchei Nisan, wherever the Shluchim in Nisan reach, Velo Matu Shluchei Tishrei, but in Tishrei the Shluchim, the messengers don't reach, La Abdu Trei Yome. They have to keep 2 days. In Nisan, there are more travel days because of the lack of holidays in Nisan. In Tishrei, you have Rosh Hashanah at the beginning, you have Yom HaKippurim in the interim, plus Shabbat, and the Shulchim are not allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat v'Yom Tov, so it diminishes the number of days they had to travel. So in Tishrei, they did not reach as far as they did in Nisan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, those areas where they do reach in Nisan, and they don't reach in Tishrei, should keep 2 days. Gezera Nisan atu Tishrei. That's because of the fear that if they told them that they could do it in Nisan, that when it came to Tishrei, even though the messengers didn't reach them, they would still only keep 1 day. So in order to preserve the minhag of keeping 2 days, or the necessity to keep 2 days in some instances, He said that in all cases, if the Shulchim don't reach from Tishrei, beyond that point, they have to keep 2 days, even though in Nisan they had the information to make it 1 day. Rabbi Aibu bar Negare, v'Rabbi Chia bar Ava, iklu l'hau atro. They went to a city, d'havu matu shluchei Nisan, lo matu shluchei Tishrei. Exactly this scenario that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned, the case where the Shulchim in Nisan reached, but the Shulchim in Tishrei did not reach. V'avdei chad yoma. And in this location, they only kept 1 day of Yom Tov in Nisan. And they did not object. Shama Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan got wind of this, vikpit, and he was upset. Didn't I already tell you? A location where the shluchim in Nisan, the messengers in Nisan reach, but they do not reach during Tishrei. They have to keep 2 days, even in Nisan. Zera Nisan, not to Tishrei, because we're worried that if we don't do this in Nisan, then when Tishrei shows up, they're also not going to keep 2 days when it's necessary because the Shulchim do not reach there. And Rabbi Yochanan was upset at them because they were his Talmidim. And since they were his Talmidim, they should have upheld his position and upheld his Gezerah. And the fact that they didn't upset him because he had taught them this halacha. Rava Havarogio Davayoti Vitanita Tre Yome. Rava's practice was to keep 2 days of Yom HaKippurim. Now, Rava here is mentioned, and it seems almost as the exception to the rule, that he kept 2 days of Yom HaKippurim, that it was a chumrah or a minhag that he had himself, but was not the practice of everyone else. So he, because of this safek of chutzlaritz, kept 2 days of Yom HaKippurim. All the other people, it seems, relied on the fact that ala rov elul was chaser, and therefore they kept Yom Kippur on 1 day, because it was too difficult to keep 2 days of Yom HaKippurim. In addition to the fact, and that is the practice in the Gula today, that even though possibly Yom Kippurim, they kept 2 days because of the Chiyuv Karet, that we only keep 1 day of Yom HaKippurim. As I heard from my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig, that Yom HaKippurim is such a unique day, it's one of those days you can't have two of. Can't have 2 days of Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is, as described here in the Gemara, Yom Rabo. It's the great day. It's the one, only, and unique day. And therefore, to have 2 days of Yom HaKippurim, in some ways would detract or diminish the meaning of the day. But Rova, because of this safek, used to keep 2 days of Yom HaKippurim. Zimnach ada ishtaka kavadei Rav Nachman. Nachman was visiting him one time. Yati bitanita kule yomei dikipure. He sat in a fast all day in Yom Kippur. Lo'orta, that evening, atahu gavro. This gentleman reaches them. Ramlei, lamachar yom rabu b'marova. Tomorrow was Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. Ramlei meheichat. He asked the shaliach, the messenger, where'd you come from? Amalei mi Damiharia. Came from this location called Damiharia. Amalei dam tehei achrito. That blood will be his end. Either because he's causing all these people now to have to fast 2 days and quote unquote spilling all that blood. Or he is saying this about himself, which is, this is going to cause me to go over the edge because I'm now going to have to fast 2 days. Kari Lalei, he said about him this pasuk from Eicha, Kalim Hayu Rodfeinu, that our enemies were light-footed, implying that this messenger, had he been a little more delayed or tarried a little bit, they would have already been eating, and they wouldn't have kept the next day as Yom Kippur. But because he was fast, he made it there beforehand, and now they have to fast 2 days in a row. So he says, Kalim Hayu Rodfeinu, as if the enemies were speedy, as if the Hashem got the shliach to get there a little earlier in order to cause him to have to fast 2 days. Shalach le Rav Huna bar Avin le Rova. So Rav Huna bar Avin sent to Rova. Kad chazid de mashchot kufat teveit ad shitzar bin Nisan. When you see that the kufat teveit extends until the 16th of Nisan, avra lahayishato. Then you should make that year into a leap year. Below tachushla, and don't worry about it. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says shamur et chodesh ha'aviv. Shemor Aviv shel Tkufa, make sure that the season of Aviv, Shei B'chodesh Nisan, should be in the month of Nisan. Now here we're discussing the necessity to create leap years, and what is the trigger, in terms of the calendrical trigger, to set the leap year. There are other reasons that are brought by the Gemara for making a leap year, including the agricultural needs, or other needs of Bnei Israel, but here we're just talking about simply the seasonal need, versus the lunar calendar. And over here, Rav Huna bar Avin explains that the Tkufav Tevet, which is the winter season, must be completed, and the spring season must begin in time for Nisan, in time for Pesach, because Pesach is known, or Chag HaMatzot is known as Chag HaAviv. So how do you ensure that? So, as Rashi explains over here, since Aviv begins on the day, the first day that it's called Tkufat Aviv, you want that to coincide with the first day of Pesach. It can be earlier, of course, but it cannot be later. So when it says Shitzar, the 16th of the year, Rashi says it means Ad V'lo Ad Bichlal, that the first day of Tkufat Aviv must be on the 15th of Nisan, and it cannot be on the 16th of Nisan. If it is on the 16th of Nisan, then you need to make it into a leap year. And Chag Aviv is known by its name, as we've seen earlier, because of the Bishul HaTvuah. Aviv has to do with the description of the maturity and the ripening of the grains, and therefore you have to make sure that Nisan coincides with that seasonally. And since the Pasuk says, Shemor et Chodesh Aviv, so Rashi says the word Chidush or the Chadesh only applies to the months of the lunar calendar. So what the Pasuk is telling us is, Shemor et Chodesh, or the Chidush HaLevana, make sure that the Chodesh of the lunar cycle is Haviv, is coinciding with the Tufa, the seasonal, or the solar Nisan, as he calls it, the spring season. And so what the Pasuk tells us is that within the first 14 days of the lunar month Nisan, the spring must begin, or the Tkufa of Nisan, the spring season, must begin. So the way Rashi terms it here is that if the first day of Tkufa falls out on the 16th of Nisan, means the spring begins on the 16th of Nisan, then you have to make it a leap year. Well, what about the 15th? If it falls, the first day falls out on the 15th, it's still not within the first 14 days of Nisan. Rashi says that's not a problem. If it falls out on the 15th of month, all you have to do is make Adar Male. Just have to add on an additional day to Adar of 30 days, and that'll push Nisan back a day, and then it'll make it that the season starts on the 14th of Nisan. So if you see that calendrically the spring season will start on the 15th, then you just make Adar one day longer. But if you see it's going to fall out on the 16th, then you have to make it a leap year because there's no way to rectify it to get it back to the day of the 14th. And that's what will trigger the need for a leap year. Tosafot, on the other hand, disagrees with Rashi and says that up to the 15th of the month is considered to be the chidush, or the new part of the month. Rashi claims before that chodesh or chidush has to do with the levana, so it has to be within the first 14 days of the month, because that's when the month is still new. Tosafot says that we know from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that it sounds like from Kiddush Levana and other places that the month is still considered b'chidusho until the 15th of the month. And therefore, Tosafot explains over here the 16th, not like Rashi of ad v'lo ad bichlal, but rather ad v'ad bichlal. He says that if the tkufa, or the spring season, will only begin on the 17th, meaning that tkufa tevet, the winter season, continues all the way through the 16th, then you have to make it into a leap year. Whereas if the Tkufat Tevet goes till the 15th, and Nisan of Chama, or spring, only begins on the 16th, that you can rectify by making it a leap month, make Adar 30 days, and adjusting it so that the first day of spring falls out on the 15th. So according to Tosafot, the first day of spring must coincide with the 15th of Nisan or earlier, whereas for Rashi, it must coincide with the 14th of Nisan and earlier. Now, what Rav Huna Ba'avin was saying to Rava is, this is a machloket in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and this, what we presented here is the shita of the Acherim. He says, you can paskin like the Acherim, and don't think that they're a dat yachid and we shouldn't follow them, but rather, the halacha is like them, and you should practice like them. Amalu Rav Nachman, hanu nechute yamo. Rav Nachman says to those that descend into the ocean, means seafarers, Atun delo yaditu bikivi adiarcha, for you, you're not going to know when the new moon is or when the months are set. Kichazitu siara, demashli miyoma, when you see that the moon finishes off the day, biiru chamira, then you should eliminate your chametz. Emat mashlim, when does the moon finish off for the sun? Bechameshar, it's on the 15th of the month. Now this is when, basically, the full moon is. When you have the full moon, we discussed in yesterday's daf, that at the beginning of the new moon, or the beginning of the new month, the moon rises at night on the western side of the sky and has a very short duration. On the opposite end of the month, at the end of the month, the moon comes out near sunrise for a short duration. But as you get towards the middle of the month, the moon spends more time out in the sky. The longest duration it has is when it's 180 degrees away from the sun, when it is a full moon, the moon then is out for the entirety of the night. It rises right at sunset, and it sets right at sunrise, because it's exactly opposite the sun at that point in time. So what he says to them is, when you see that the moon finishes off the day, meaning that the moon sets as the sun rises, then you should be mevar your chametz, because you know that that's Pesach. So now Gemara says, wait a minute, when does that happen? That happens in the middle of the month, the 15th of month. We eliminate our chametz already back from the 14th. First of all, we do bidikat chametz the night before. We do our bir chametz during the day of the 14th. They wait till the 15th, they're going to have chametz around for too long. So he says, no, since those are out at sea, the seafarers have a much clearer view of the horizon. They have no obstructions in their horizon, both to the east or to the west. Therefore, they're able to see clearly when the sun and the moon are crossing over. That when the sun setting, the moon rises, and when the moon sets, the sun rises. They can see that clearly because they have nothing that is blocking their view. So therefore, for them, it'll actually turn out to be a day earlier that they see that versus us. Now, truthfully, it happens on the same day, but the fact that they have no obstructions means that they can see it earlier than we see it, because any obstruction for us would cause us to make it look like either the moon was setting or rising at the same time as the sun, but that would be a day later because of the obstructions in the horizon. Now, the truth is that half of the month is not 15 days, because we know that a lunar month is 29 and a half days and a little more. So when you really divide it in half, it's a little 14 and three quarter days that it's halfway through the month. So therefore, when they have an unobstructed view, they'll be able to see the halfway point of the month from the Molad, which will turn out to be on the 14th of the month and not on the 15th of the month. The next Mishnah, which should be familiar to us because we've quoted it a number of times before, next Mishnah says, "Ashnei chodoshim mechalalim et ha-shabbat." For 2 months of the year, we are mechalel Shabbat, meaning that the Edim that are coming to testify as to when they saw the new moon are mechalel Shabbat, al Nisan ve'al Tishrei. For Nisan and Tishrei, shebehen shluchim yotzim l'suria. Because in those months, the shluchim go all the way out to Suria, ubehen metaknim et ha-moadot. And they have implications for all the holidays, because all the holidays are dependent on those 2 months, Pesach and Shavuot by Nisan, and Tishrei will be koveya Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Sukkot. Shaya Beit HaMikdash Kayam, when the Mikdash was still extant, Mechalin Afal Kulan, Mipnei Takanat HaKurban. Then they would allow the Edim to be Mechalel Shabbat on any of the Rosh Chodeshim in order that they could bring the Kurban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh in its proper time. And Rashi over here says that, Mina Torah, Mechalin Al Kulan. From the Torah, you can be Mechalel all of the months, and the Edim are coming up and testify, can be Mechalel Shabbat to come and testify. But the Rabbonon were gozer, or oser, people to be mechalel Shabbat, because in the other months it doesn't matter so much whether it's a chaser or malei, so they said that it wasn't worth being mechalel Shabbat. But for the 2 months of the year, Tishrei Nisan, where making it a chaser or malei has implications and ramifications, there they allowed them to be mechalel Shabbat, and they were ma'amid the din al din Torah, because the mo'adot are tluin behen. Now we'll discuss that a little more in the Gemara about understanding why that is. Gemara says, Abet chodashim betulo. From our Mishnah, it sounds like they only sent out shluchim for the 2 months. For a minute, didn't we just have the Mishnah before that says, Avav chodashim ashluchim yotzim? There are 6 months in which the shluchim go out to tell the Gola when Rosh Chodesh was. So Amar Abai Yachikamar. This is what you have to read it as. Al kulan shluchim yotzim mi ba'erev. For all the months, they go out the night before. On Nisan v'al Tishrei, ad shishmeu mi-beitin mikudash. On Nisan and Tishrei, they will not leave until they hear it directly from Beitin that day is mikudash. Now there are two ways to read this, Rashi notes. One is to say that if the moon was visible, clearly visible in the sky that night, that the shluchim would go out. That's whether it was the night of the 29th or the night of the 30th. Meaning whether the 30th was going to be Rosh Chodesh or the 31st was going to be Rosh Chodesh, the Edim would go out if they saw the night before a clear moon, because they know for sure that the Edim would show up. They don't wait to hear that Beit Din does it. And therefore, they would go out. On Nisan Tishrei, they have to wait for Beit Din to declare it Rosh Chodesh. On the other hand, the other possibility is that with regards to the 29th at night, they would never go out, because they would never be sure that Beit Din would be Mekadesh to Chodesh the next day. They might decide that even though the Edim come, that they don't want to be Mekadesh to Chodesh. But we're only talking about the night of the 30th, meaning the 31st day, when the previous month is in Mi'ubar, is 30 days. You can't make Rosh Chodesh any later. So for sure, the next day, they're going to make it Rosh Chodesh. So why wait around? They can leave the night before instead of waiting around for the next day. That's the difference here. For other months, they would go out at night. For Tishrei and Nisan, they'd wait until the next morning to hear Beit Din say Mikudash before they went out. So it's only referencing to a month that is Mubar, that is 30 days, where this is relevant. According to the first way, Rashi says, it's relevant both for a chaser and a malei. So Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a brayta that supports that understanding. Ha'gulan yotzim mi be'erev, al nisan v'tishrei, ad shishmu mi pei bidin mikudash. And this is why Levi, in the beginning of today's daf, would not testify with regards to when Yom Kippur was, because he said, I didn't hear it from Beit Din, and therefore, I don't have a right to testify about it, because we see here that the shluchim were not allowed to leave until they heard from Beit Din that it was mikudash. So Tan Rabbanan, minayin shemechalim alhem et ha-shabbat. How do we know that you're allowed to be Mechalo Shabbat in order to be Koveya Rosh Chodesh? Tamalomar, Eile Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikru'u Otam Bimoadam. These are the Moadei Hashem. Asher Tikru'u Otam, you will declare them Bimoadam in their time. As Rashi explains, his Hirama Ketuv, the Pasuk is telling you, Shelo Yavora Moed, Shelzman Kriyatam. The time when they should be declared should not go by. So the Mikra Kodesh over here is the declaration of Beit Din, or the declaration of Mikudash. So that Mikra Kodesh shouldn't go past its proper time. So how do you ensure that it doesn't go past its proper time? Your Mechalo Shabbat to establish the day that is Rosh Chodesh. Yochol Kishem Shemechalim Ad Shigadshu Kach Mechalim Ad Shikaimu. You would think that the Edim who come to testify about the moon, they're allowed to be Mechalo Shabbat in order to establish which day is Rosh Chodesh. So just like they are allowed to be Mechalo Shabbat, so too your Mechalim Ad Shikaimu. You allow the Shluchim to go out to tell the other people, when Rosh Chodesh was, that they should also be Mechalo Shabbat in order to establish the holidays in Rosh Chodesh in the proper time. Tamud Omar Sher Tikru Otam. Al Priyatam Ata Mechalel, V'yata Mechalel Al Kiyulam. You're only allowed to be Mechalo Shabbat for the Kriya in order to establish Rosh Chodesh, but you're not allowed to be Mechalo Shabbat in order to ensure that everybody knows when Rosh Chodesh was established. So the execution on establishing which day is Rosh Chodesh, that allows you to be Mechalo Shabbat. But once you've declared when Rosh Chodesh is, in order to inform the people of that information, that you do not have a right to be Mechalel Shabbat. Now, Rashi over here notes that the Mishnah said before on the Nisan Ve'al Tishrei, the reason that we allow them to be Mechalel Shabbat is because Shluchim Yotzim Behen Shtzuriyah. The Shluchim go out. So the Mishnah seems to indicate the reason that we allow you to be Mechalel Shabbat is because the Shluchim are going to go out. Now, from our Gemara, what we just read, it's pretty clear that's not the reason. The reason is that they have a limud from the Pasuk. So since they have a limud from the Pasuk, that's what allows them to be Mechalel Shabbat. Has nothing to do with the fact that the Shluchim are going to go out afterwards. Now Rashi claims that it does help out the Shluchim, because if the 30th day is Shabbat, and Motzei Shabbat, the Edim could leave in order to go out and testify, then if we let them go out the night before, they could leave on Motzei Shabbat, and they would have many more days. They're close to 12 days in Nisan that they could travel. On the other hand, if we don't allow the Edim to be Mechalel Shabbat, that means that that month will turn out to be a full month. It'll be 30 days. And then only Sunday will become Mikudash. And since the Edim have to wait to hear it from Beit Din, they'll be delayed by a half day plus in going out. So by allowing them to be Mechalel Shabbat, you accelerate the ability of the Shluchim to leave on Motzei Shabbat versus having to wait until Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon before they can leave. So that's how Rashi explains the reasons that the Mishnah is giving for why you're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat. But as Rashi notes, that can't be the real reason, because the real reason comes out of a pasuk, out of a limud in the psukim. And Rashi at the end says, "V'yitziat shluchim," that's mentioned in our Mishnah, "diktani eino elo li'afot ol yasheva ta'atam achilul." It's only there to enhance the reason as to why we're Mechalel Shabbat, af b'shvil zot. "V'yesh tavrim shenatam talui behem." Sometimes the Mishnah gives you a reason, but that's not the primary reason. Behem nasim sa'ad l'davar. They're only supportive of the issue. So Rashi says what the Mishnah mentions is only an ancillary reason as to why the Edim are allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat in order to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. The real reason is what we just mentioned in the Gemara, that there's a Pasuk that grants them the right to be Mechalel Shabbat. On the other hand, if you need more reason, or a reinforcement of that, that's what our Mishnah is saying, because in addition to the fact that they're granted the right to be Mechalel Shabbat, there's another reason, which is that it will accelerate the ability of the Shluchim to leave. So even though that's not the primary reason, and it's not even a sufficient reason to allow them to be Mechalel Shabbat, it still helps us to say that there's reason here to be Mechalel Shabbat, because there's value that is created by being Mechalel Shabbat, granted that the dispensation only comes from the fact that we have a limud out of a pasuk in the Torah. And you see here that the dispensation is granted to Rosh Chodesh because it uses the word moed. And we see many places in Shas that Rosh Chodesh is called a moed. So therefore, the grant or the dispensation to be Mechalel Shabbat applies to all moedim. And that means any Rosh Chodesh. And that's what Rashi said in the Mishnah, that on any Rosh Chodesh you're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat. But the reason that we're only Mechalel Shabbat for Nisan and Tishrei is given by the Mishnah as to why we focus on Nisan and Tishrei. And the other times that we do not allow for Chilul Shabbat because it's not as necessary. Okay, Gemara says, "Ushaya beit mikdash kiyam mechalin af kulam ipnei takanat korban." Tan rabanan, b'rishona ayu mechalim af al kulan. In the beginning, they used to be mechalal Shabbat on all the roshei chodashim in order to bring the witnesses to Yerushalayim. Shara beit mikdash, mar lehem rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has one of his many takanot with regards to the korban abay. It says, "Chiyesh korban." What's the necessity for the Eidim to be Mechalel Shabbat? Kinu shelo yei mechalim el nisan v'al tishrei b'yovad. Therefore, he established the practice that they were only Mechalel Shabbat in order to testify for the new moon with regards to Tishrei and Nisan, and not any of the other months, because it was no longer any benefit in being Mechalel Shabbat or establishing Rosh Chodesh on the correct day, because there was no Korban that was connected to it. The next Mishnah. Ben shenireh be'alil, ben shelo nireh be'alil. Whether the moon was obviously visible in the sky, or whether it was slightly visible or difficult to see, mechalin alav et Shabbat. The Eidim come and mer mechalel Shabbat in order to come and testify. Rabbi Yosi omer im nireh be'aliyo, if it was clearly visible in the sky and it's certain that everybody saw it, ein mechalin alav et Shabbat. There's no reason to be mechalel Shabbat, because somebody closer to Beit Din will be able to go and testify. Maseh she'avru yoter ma'arba'im zug. There were more than 40 pairs of Eidim that were going up to Yerushalayim to testify about the new moon. V'ikvum Rabbi Akiva b'Lod. And Rabbi Akiva stopped them in Lod, the city of Rabbi Akiva, and didn't allow them to go up to Yerushalayim. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi at the time, im Akeva ta'at Rabbim. If you stop the public at this time, in Seit Machshulam Latid Lavo, you're going to cause them not to want to come in the future. Meaning that if you don't allow them this time, they're going to say next time they see the moon, it's just not worth it. We're never going to get up there to testify because they're going to stop us on the way. It's better to let them all go, and they do have permission to go because of dispensation we just learned from the Pasuk. So better to let them go, even though we know we have plenty of Eidim, because otherwise the next time it comes to testify, they're not going to make the effort in order to go up to Yerushalayim, because they say we're just going to get stopped on the way anyway. Where it says, "My mashma d'hai aliyo lishnan d'miglehu." How do you know that this word aliyo means something that's clear and visible? Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Kura, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Imrot Hashem amorot tehorot, the words of Hashem are pure sayings. Kesef tzaruf, purified silver, ba'aliyo la'aretz. Over here, the simple translation is, in a furnace made out of earth. Mizukak shivataim, that has been purified sevenfold. So there, the Gemara says, no, Rashi says, the word aliyo la'aretz over here means something that is clearly visible or seen by all. So it's keses saruf, but aliyah laaretz means that it's purified, refined silver that is visible to everyone. Everyone can tell that that's the case. So that's the pasuk that teaches that the word aliyah means clear and visible. Now the Gemara jumps into a little bit of an agadata for the remainder of the pasuk, which is mizukak shivataim, that it's refined sevenfold. Rav Shmuel, Chadamar, Nun Sharei Bina Nivru'u Be'olam. There were 50 gates of understanding in the world. Gulam nitnu le Moshe chaser achad. And they were all granted to Moshe minus one. They learned that out of the pasuk here that there's shivataim. Shivataim is 7 times 7 or 49. So they were the 49 of Sharei Bina or the 49 Sfirot, which is relevant to our accounting of the Omer. That's how each of the Sfirot, or the 49 Sfirot, are assigned to one day of the Omer. So how do we know that Moshe didn't get all of them? Shenemar v'taksireu mi'at melukim. That man is slightly below God. I mean that man can never reach the heights of God. So if there are 50 Sharei Binah, the closest you can come is 49. So bikesh Kohelet limtso divrei chefetz. Kohelet sought to find words of desire. Gemara interprets here that he was looking for something that he desired. Bikesh Kohelet liot kim Moshe. He wanted to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Yetzav bat kol v'amra lo. A heavenly voice came out and said to him, which is the latter half of the pasuk we just quoted from Kohelet, Bekatuv Yosher Divrei Emet. And he wrote down words that were straight and truthful. But over here, the Gemara is interpreting Bekatuv Yosher Divrei Emet. It's referring to that item that is written that contains those things that are Yashar and truthful, which is the Torah. Below Kam Navi Od Be Israel Ke Moshe. There was never a Navi who could ever match up to the greatness of Moshe. So you are searching to be like Moshe. The Torah already tells you that you cannot reach those heights. One of them, we said this is Rav and Shmuel, one of them says that the diuk out of the pasuk is that b'nivim, there will never be someone like Moshe. But within the kings, there could be somebody who is as great as Moshe. Then what do I do with the pasuk? Because here he was able to attain the 49 sharei bina that Moshe had. He wanted to go ahead and adjudicate cases based on what he saw in his heart or on other people's hearts without witnesses and without warnings. I mean, that he wanted to do away with the judiciary process because he was so wise that he was able to get to the proper answer without all of that, which would be in character with what we know about Shlomo HaMelech, who did certain things, even though the Torah says not to do them, because of his wisdom or his greatness, he thought he was beyond the laws of the Torah. Eventually, that all catches up with him and causes him a lot of problems, like the number of wives that he took and the other things that the Gemara mentions. That's the Batko Bamralo. A heavenly voice comes out and says to him, "V'katuv Yosher Divrei Emet." The Torah already says, "Apishnai Meidim." You have to follow the protocol of the Torah. The Torah lays out the due process, and you can't override that. And even though maybe you're capable, it's not the proper way to do it, and you have to follow the laws of the Torah. Now, Masit Shavru Yoter Mi Abraham Zug V'Yikvam Rabbi Akiva. Tanya, we have a bright time. Rabbi Yehuda Achas V'Shalom Shabbi Akiva Yikvam. Certainly couldn't be this story was about Rabbi Akiva. Ela Shezefer Roshashel Geder Yikvam. The actual person who stopped the Edim was this individual, Shezefer, who was the governor or the head of a place called Geder. Igvam, he was the one who held him back. And they deposed him. He was removed as the leader there because of the actions that he took over here. So the Breita says that Rabbi Yehuda says the whole story was not about Rabbi Akiva, but rather about the Shezefer Roshah Shel Geder. Okay, we'll stop over here.